Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, hello, people. Hello, Laurianne, are you there?
I sure am. Hello to you. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday to you, too. Just going to have to make an adjustment here with my app. Come on, let's go. And then I will notify the, here we go. Okay, this should do it. Good. Let's go. Okay. And, all right, folks, today is January 24th, Wednesday, 7 p.m. And welcome to the Joe from Montana show with my co-host, the Lucid Libertarian, whose show is on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. He talks about current events, corruption, tyranny, and her name is Laurianne. So tonight, folks, what we have are two major topics. One topic I think has never really been discussed before. It may, maybe, but at the same time, I've never seen it on YouTube or, well, I'm not on social media, so I wouldn't know about social media. And that particular topic is a continuation of what we had last week, was about these women who seem to be very ardent, avid, male advocates, the women who seem to really understand and sympathize with the plight of men today. In other words, men's issues with relationships, with how they get along with women, and practically in particular, how to avoid the bitches. If not how to avoid them, at least how to recognize them, or at least besides that, to sympathize with the bitches that are out there that are causing men a lot of stress. And they're taking men off the hook for some of the accusations. I'm not talking about the Me Too accusations, but those could be included. But the accusations about how men just don't care or just don't know how to handle the good woman, the strong independent woman, and yada, yada, yada. Okay? That'll be one topic. The other topic that I'd like to get into even more so would be, how can men and women find their one true love, the one that they can stay with forever? How can they do that when especially there are narcissists out there who really know how to play the game of making you feel special, making you feel that the narcissist is trustworthy, making you feel that everything is going to be okay. They give you all the sympathy in the world. They know exactly what triggers and buttons to push, and they know how to be your best friend, and then they know how to be your heartbreak. I know how to avoid the long-term effects of that. I've discussed that in other shows, and I'll get into that as well. But how can you tell? Is there, to be simplified and to be extremely simplistic, is there an aura that good men, good women emanate and which can be picked up by the other people? I'm not saying that that literally. I'm just saying, put that into your head. Use your imagination. What are the behavior patterns, the attitudes that men and women have that you can recognize and say, this is the one. He or she is not a narcissist. And before I continue, what I'd like to do is give out the phone number for the show for those who may be listening, especially for those who may like to download the show. And let me get back to this. And the number for the show is 646-478-5284. I'll say that again. 646-478-5284. And when I do have a show, it's usually on a Wednesday at around 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For those who do like my shows and like to investigate more, you can go to blogtalkradio.com. Blog, just like in, as the word says, blog, B-L-O-G, T-A-L-K, radio.com. And when you get there, you'll be on the home page, and there'll be a search field there. And inside that search field, you can put in Joe from Montana, not Joe Montana. Don't get me into a frivolous lawsuit with the former quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, okay? Not that we would ever get into a lawsuit. I really don't have millions that he could have. But it's Joe from Montana. Put that in, search for it. It'll come up. You'll have to, and once that the search page comes up, you still have to look, scroll down to find Joe from Montana. And when you do, you can click on that link, and that'll bring you to where Blog Talk Radio has a collection of my shows. Also, since I'm prone to forget at the last 10 minutes of a show to promote other people's shows, then hopefully, if I remember, at the half-hour point of this show, for those people who do call in, have shows, I'll promote those shows so that you may be interested in them. And I'll promote Laurie Ann's show, and I'll promote my show again. But now, on to the topics. So, Laurie Ann, which one should we tackle first? Which one interests you the most? The one about how do we find, how can we go beyond the landmines, all the Claymore mines, and find the true love? Or do you want to continue on with last week's show?
Well, last week, I think that, there were some things that you'd mentioned that that we didn't get a chance to talk about really on the subject of, the real motivation between women that are advocates for men. I think that we should probably kind of wrap up that conversation, what you wanted to say, or, talk a little bit about that, but then go into the main topic for today, because that's always a pressing question. I think just about everybody wonders, how do we find our one true love?
Yeah.
But I do like our topic last week. We had a great show last week. For those of you that are out there listening, give it a listen from last week. I think we did a really good show. But we kind of, we lost track of the main topic, because we got into, dating rules and things like that. I think that we should continue that discussion. I tend to try to advocate for men. I know I want to advocate for women, of course. I'm a woman. However, mm-hmm. I think that I try to advocate for men because I've had a lot of guys that are friends. There's a lot of conversation, and I hear some of their horror stories. And, women can be a horror story, too. It's not, mm-hmm. Just the men that are bad at relationships. We have women today with very unrealistic expectations. They put men through a lot of grief unnecessarily. And I think that when it comes to especially breakups, divorce, especially when there's children involved, I think that in today's society, it hasn't really changed. It's like the burden in the courts are on men, like the odds are stacked against them. And especially when it comes to children, it almost always goes to the mother, and the mother might not be a very good mother. But yet the courts tend to favor that mother instead of the father, even though the father is the more well-adjusted, the better parent. It's like it doesn't matter anymore. You know, it, in the eyes of the court, it's an uphill battle to try to find a woman unfit and award custody to the father. So that's, you know, so I think we're talking about a more unfairness when it comes to, for men. And what's going on in the background? Sounds like you're going through a car wash.
Oh, that is, that, oh. Do you still hear the background noise?
Not anymore, no. It was sounding like a whoosh, whoosh.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just lying down, so I was just adjusting myself. And the microphone, luckily, is sensitive. Yeah, okay. So continue on with your thoughts.
I think that, you know, I wrapped it up. What did you have on your mind to talk about on that subject?
Thing is, I like it when, especially females, all for men's issues, okay? It shows that they're on our side, they understand. And there are two major YouTubers. One is named Pearl, and the other one is named Jedediah. Yeah, I know, it sounds like a man's name. Jedediah Bila or Bilas, I forget. It's either B-I-L-A or B-I-L-A-S. Now, with Pearl, she's never said the code words that perks up my ears. Those code words were protect and provide. In fact, she believes we should never have been given the right to vote. And when you look at her and talk to her, she's not a nut job. You know, she's not somebody that, you know, was dragged out of a dumpster, cleaned herself up, and, you know, is loony. And she gives her reasons to how women have not contributed to society nearly in the same way that men have. So that's an extreme. I think women, and I haven't seen that video, talking about how women did not contribute to the same degree that men have, but I think women should be allowed to vote. But I also believe there should be logic introduced in schools as a formal course, so that from first grade through 12th, everybody knows about critical thinking and logic. There are formal steps, and it would help people to stop being indoctrinated by the bullshitters in our society. So that's Pearl, okay? It's not that she's always argumentative with women about men, but she generally takes up men's side. She has talked about how some men are jerks. But Jedediah said protect and provide. And there have even been books written and by the real feminists who are very sympathetic with men. Now, the thing is, what I'm wondering is, are these women today, the ones who are sympathetic with men, the ones who do criticize women, and the ones who keep telling the women, you've got to find a good man, okay, and you have to stop being bitches, it makes me wonder, what is this good man? What is the role of the good man? What is the role of the woman? And it dawned on me that these women, either consciously or subconsciously, because there are a lot of men who have withdrawn from the dating world, a lot of men have changed their attitudes about how women are not princesses, a lot of men who are not jumping through hoops anymore, to get to a woman. There are men who have actually, on video, I don't know if the video is or not, who have actually gotten up from their dates when they were on a date because she started getting a little bit too much of a nuisance. So is it because of the major reactions of men who are leaving women in the lurch that is the motivation for some of these women who are male advocates, or are these women truly sincere? Because what one, Jedediah, seems to, she has had a video about you can't can't treat a make a boy a man, you know. Don't continue to coddle him. He's got to wait. He's got to grow up in life and take responsibility. Another red flag there. So I'm wondering, are these women recognizing that women are bitches and telling women, hey, woman up? Or are they saying, stop being bitches because the men don't want to be the men anymore? They're just looking out for themselves. They don't want to protect and provide. They don't even want to help. So is their agenda, hey, women, bitches, stop being bitches, get yourself a good man, but the good man is still the protector, the provider, the leader, the one who takes the risks, as opposed to women joining in on the risk, you know, and in essence, they're still being princesses. So you brought up a good point last week, which I appreciated, was the fact that a woman, if she's not willing to fight for a man, but she's this nurturing woman who supposedly would be willing to fight for her child, why not fight for your man if there's a physical altercation between a man and some guy in a parking lot, a mugger, some drunk, a guy that looks at a woman the wrong way, but not looks at her the wrong way, but touches her the wrong way, hits her on the ass, stuff like this. So that's why I brought up that topic. I think men should be men, and I think they should protect and fight for the woman who deserves it and not for every uterus carrier on the planet. So what would you like to add to that?
Yeah, I think that I think that we as women need to advocate for our men more, because I think that as women, it's almost like we're trained to be extra critical. You know, like the whole princess thing, you know, if a guy doesn't have enough money, the right car, all these superficial things, if he doesn't basically, you know, worship the ground she walks on, then he's not good enough. And yeah, like that sense of entitlement and all that. And it's almost like setting up men to be failures from the very beginning, because there's like almost no way for a man to be successful with a woman, you know. When a woman has this list of criteria a mile long that he can never live up to, and yet he's expected to live up to them and live up to it. And I like what you say too, like, well, then, you know, if a woman is going to be like that, then they also have to ask themselves, well, what do you bring to the table? Men are pretty, you know, even you've said men are pretty simple creatures.
Yep.
But I don't think as simple as people make out. I think that men are a lot more complicated, actually, than I think men have a lot of more complex feelings. I think men don't. They're not as encouraged to express those feelings. A lot of it is, you know, man up, you know. You got to man up. You got to, you know, get your emotions, you know, out of the way and shove those emotions down. And so men don't really know how to handle the emotions that they really have. And I think when it comes to love, one of the things that gets sacrificed with that is we don't, as women, we don't really understand what is really going on with the men. When a man really loves a woman, like the song, you know, I think that they feel things much deeper. Yeah, when a man loves a woman, I think, you know, their experience of love we don't get a whole lot of insight to, because men have been so trained to keep their emotions in check and internalize. And so what gets sacrificed is women don't really truly understand that what a man's experience of love is for them and how deep it really goes, how damaging what the woman he truly loves, how damaging she can be to him when she's insensitive to him, when she has too high of expectations that he could never meet, like nothing he ever does is good enough, that sort of thing. I think that that's a downside to that, you know. And of course, you know, women, we don't want some crybaby guy that, you know, whines about every little thing. And we don't want to have another, you know, 5-year-old to take care of, right? We don't want a man with the mentality of a 5-year-old that cries over every little thing. We don't want that extreme. But we do, you know, we do need to appreciate that men actually really have very true, very deep feelings. They have a different experience than we as women do, because we're encouraged to do it. You know, we're like, you know, we grow up playing baby dolls. You know, we grow up playing house. We grow up having that side of us nurtured and fostered, whereas men don't. And so how do men deal with all that?
Yeah, women are encouraged to, they're allowed to express themselves without being considered weak. So they do express themselves, and men do come along, put their hands around their shoulders and do comfort them. I do not see a lot of women doing the same thing, but I interrupted you in order to say that. So go ahead and continue.
Go ahead. I know I rattled on for a while, so go ahead. I'd love your thoughts on what I said. Yeah.
Yeah, and men, you were talking about how men are a little bit more complex, especially in the area of vulnerability. I wanted to talk about how easy it is to please a man. Now, I have brought up these same qualities before, and men will agree, but also be men who say, you know, and I talked about this last week, you know, yeah, I like a woman to cook and clean. I think that would be a really good woman. And I said, well, what if she's a bitch? What if she brings drama? Then their minds start to think a little bit more. The wheels start turning a little bit more, because men, I guess, do not really dig deep into themselves as to what they truly want. Sometimes they think they know what they want, but they don't truly want. So when I explain this, what I'm about to explain now, it makes more sense to them. This is what pleases a man. A relatively good-looking woman, okay? Now, when I say relatively good-looking, a man usually has a judgment about who's out of my league, who's not, you know, who's not in my league. If I as a man can't get the 9s and the 10s, then I'll go for the 8s and the 7s. Okay, so a relatively good-looking 8 or a 7, let's say. A woman with a relatively good personality. When I say good personality, I mean somebody who's fairly interesting, okay? A woman who is attentive to what he says. A woman who knows how to smile, okay? Now, these are the superficial things that make a man say, I would like to date her. I would like to know more about her. She's relatively good looking. And in the 5, 10, 15-minute conversation we've had, she seems to be interesting. And she smells nice. She's been attentive to me. Yeah, I'd like to know more about her. And then when you get to know more about her, you find out she's relatively good in bed. And she does what she says she's going to do, and she does not bring drama. Okay? Relatively simple. And most men would say, you know, if I did meet a woman who was relatively attractive, somebody that I didn't have to jump through hoops in order to get her to act as though she likes me, might want to go out with me, shares a drink but doesn't seem to share the conversation with enthusiasm. And then when I do manage to get a number and she does say, yes, I'll go out with you, she makes me feel comfortable. That's it. That's basically it. And if the woman continues to be that way, then, and let's say over the course of months, she doesn't even have to change her personality that much. She's still interesting. She's still good in bed. She doesn't bring the drama. She's attentive. Bang. Most guys will fall in love with that woman. Take the same qualities. Now, either you as a woman or your sisters, or the one sister who's really cuckoo, or the girlfriends that you know, if I mention those qualities, they would say, sounds good to me, but would they actually continue to think of the guy if he's still relatively, interesting, relatively so, still relatively good in bed, and does not bring drama? Would she still want to be with him, or would she find the guy, quote unquote, lacking or boring? What's your opinion about a woman's reactions to the same kind of guy that she meets, which is the equivalent of the same kind of girl that we meet? What's your opinion?
I guess I'm not really following you with the question.
Okay. All right. Let me try to sum it up then a little bit better. Guys, they like women who are relatively attractive, relatively interesting, relatively good in bed, okay, do not bring the drama, and over the course of months would practically fall in love with the woman who is the same as when he met. In other words, she didn't have to change. She's still relatively interesting, okay, is attentive, does not bring drama. The guy feels he has a catch. Girl finds a guy relatively interesting, relatively good in bed, doesn't bring drama, is attentive to her. She would find him boring. That's my summation. That's my opinion.
Well, I guess I don't think of it that way. I don't think a guy is boring when he's attentive and, you can make those things fun. I mean, part of being attentive, I would think, is, having somebody to laugh with, mm-hmm. when, sharing jokes back and forth and, inside jokes especially. That sort of thing. So being attentive and all that doesn't necessarily mean boring. Do women want exciting men? We want some excitement in our lives, of course. We want somebody to have our adventures with and things. And I think the same is true for men with the partner that they're looking for, especially, common interests. I think especially if, you're a guy that likes to go on hiking trips and things like that, you're probably going to want to find a woman that also enjoys those things because you want to have some, your partner. You don't want really necessarily her staying home while you go hiking. That's something that you would like to share with each other, right? And that brings some fun into it, so having some adventures, that sort of thing.
I think because
there are some relationships that are like that, and for some people that works. They like that separation. Like, I have my interests, she has her interests, that sort of thing. But yet, I think you can be content with that. But I would think for me, there would be that part of me that would be like kind of secretly wishing that my partner was somebody that I could do some of those things with and have those shared interests. You'd rather be able to include them than not include them, even though you might get used to it and you're content with it or whatever. But I think deep down, you know, you really want a partner in life. And yes, it's, you know, good to have your own interests and things like that, but it's also very important to have things that you share together besides just living together in the home, and that's it, you know, and everything else you don't really, you know, how do you really connect with somebody if you don't have a shared interest with each other?
Yeah, what I'm...
And that's part of what
I'm,
makes things exciting.
Yeah. What I've also said is that there are three mindsets that people must have. They must have the same philosophical mindset about the world. They must have the same interests so that they don't bore each other, hopefully. And they must have the same values. If they don't have those three particular mindsets, which merge and mesh well with each other, they're not going to survive. But the point I was trying to make was, let's say I met a girl who was relatively attractive. I liked her looks. We had chemistry. When we had a conversation, she knew how to listen. Okay. When we are in bed, she's more than just laying on her back. Okay. She actually takes the initiative every once in a while. All righty. And I can trust her. No drama. Okay. Plus the fact that if I did have anxiety, she would be there for me. I would think I would be a fairly lucky guy. And I think most guys would feel the same way because there's a consistency there of peace, no drama, no arguments, or very few arguments. And those arguments which do occur, they can be solved fairly easily. Now, over the course of time, if her personality and the degree in which we shared our interests did not change, I and the vast majority of men would not be bored. But if a woman has a man, even if he's good-looking, even if he's got the same shared interests, good conversationalist, is there for her when she has her, the traffic, the rush hour traffic, goddamn, again, it's just so annoying to be in rush hour day after day. If he is consistently the same, doesn't bring the excitement, and it's his job to bring the excitement in the minds of the vast majority of women. If he is the same good guy, same attentive guy, still good or decent in bed, she's going to find him boring. Now, I remember being on a show one time, and I asked the women there, who are your perfect guys? So a girl was describing this perfect guy, right? And I said, and I confirmed at the end of her soliloquy, I said, so if this guy was blah, 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 yada, blah, yada, then he would be perfect. And she said, yeah, and that's the kind of guy you would like for a long, long time, maybe marry. She pondered a bit, said probably. Those qualities were very good qualities. Do you know, after she and I got through with that little exercise, another chick pipes in and says, but he's just too perfect. I go, oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. You want the perfect guy, then you find fault if he's not the perfect guy. You find the perfect guy, and you find fault when he is perfect. You know, there's a saying that I heard last year by a guy who was a male advocate himself. He said this, and I wish I had thought of it myself. He said, the one thing about women is you can give a woman a bag of gold, and she'll fucking complain about how heavy it is. I had a crack up at that, because that summarizes perfectly the mindset of what women are today. You can be perfect, and they'll complain about something, you know? That is just so true. Give a woman a bag of gold, and she'll complain about how heavy it is. dumb bitch, the heavier it is, the better off you are, schmuck. You know? That's my contention, is that the same qualities.
There's like this addiction. Like if you don't, it's like some women have this addiction to, if there's not a problem, they'll make it up. You know, this addiction to having to complain about something, and drama. I mean, it all brings about drama when you complain just to complain. It's drama.
Of course. It's the unexpected expectations rearing its ugly head again. Ah, you disappointed me. Now, does she know exactly why? Well, she may have had trauma. That is, you know, that's made her feel this way, plus the conditioning that the culture puts into a woman. So, yeah. So the unexpected expectations, boy, is that at the forefront. Now, you've met a guy. The guy's a nice looking. He's good in bed. He's interesting. But he's has the exact same degree of attentiveness, sense of humor, qualities in bed, and nothing's really increased, okay? So to me, what women say, it seems as though, yeah, I've got the sensitive guy. I want him. I wanted him. But, then they go for the bad boy. Now, I'm not talking about the legitimate bad boy. They'll go for a fucking scumbag, okay? Oh, boy, the good guy's over here, been with you for a year, almost a year, a little bit more than a year, long comes, really badass, and you're willing to dump, the guy that you said you've been looking for this guy. How stupid are you to do that, okay? This is the guy you said you wanted, you got him, but he's either boring or somehow he's disappointing you. So that's why I say guys are simple. You know, all we need is just, we don't need the very beautiful woman. We don't need the woman who has this exceedingly great sense of humor. We don't need the woman who is terrific in bed. You know how that saying goes, you know, you're a lady outside of a boudoir, but you're a whore in the boudoir. We don't need that. We just want somebody we can trust. It's feminine, and we don't expect more than just your being attentive to us and not giving us drama. And I don't think, well, let's say it's a little bit of an oversimplification, but I don't really think so, you know? So you've known women who say they want the real, you know, the good man, but then they also find that the good man is not the real man, you know? So it's the Cinderella Complex. And by the way, that's the name of a book, the Cinderella Complex. So holy shit. So men feel like they're always caught between a rock and a hard place, and they're withdrawing from the dating world. And I like to get into the other topic, but I want your feedback on what I've said and any other thoughts that might have cropped up in your mind.
Well, I think it's kind of like women will go for the bad guy. Like they have a perfectly good man, you know, and they go for that bad boy because that bad boy symbolizes being an alpha male. And I say symbolizes because they're not really an alpha male, right? But they symbolize that alpha male. And I think that kind of triggers like this innate thing in us, you know? But then that also
I'm not talking about the legitimate bad boy. I'm not talking about, you know, an alpha male who is a good guy, okay? And, you know, is attentive. That kind of guy who, you know, doesn't worship the ground that you walk on, does stand his ground. Yeah, okay, go for him. But the women, they take the guys who, you know, who are, as you said, they're not alphas. They're trying to be out there. They're trying to be the tough guy in the block. They're trying to be the ones who are letting people know, yeah, I'm here, I'm bad. You know, don't go for them. Are those the bad boys you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. The guys that are, you know, they're wannabe alpha males, but they're really not. And on some level, they know it. But, you know, they got to, you know, beat their chest like a gorilla and, you know, they got to act Mr. Badass, you know, and it's all pretend.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of thing. But women fall for it. You know, a lot of women fall for it because, you know, he's acting successfully like he's an alpha male. And therefore, that's attracting a woman. But, you know, it's only a matter of time before, like, the truth comes out and she starts to see through it, at least hopefully, you know, unless she's an idiot.
Yeah.
Unless
she's very manipulative. Yeah, the real illegitimate bad boys are manipulative men. Now, we're not talking, and when I talk about women, mainly on this particular show and their failings, I'm not also foregoing the reality that there are scumbags out there. So if women want to call in and talk about your experiences with the, you know, the so-called alpha male, that's fine. You know, point the finger of recrimination legitimately at a scumbag. Don't point it at some guy that's, you know, is a good guy, and yet you find fault with him some way. So I want to make that distinction. So, yeah, but guys, I've always said 25% of guys cannot handle a relationship. And that's my subjective opinion. 25%, I would think maybe even less. Because of the trauma that we've gone through, we can't handle it. You know, we've had too many heartbreaks in our lives, and we can't handle it. But there's 75% of men out there who are dying for a good relationship with you women. With all you've got to do is stop bringing the drama. What men say, and they're right, they want peace, especially after a bad marriage. I remember one guy was talking about that. They want peace. They don't like drama. You women like drama. Stop it. If you like drama, you bring legitimate entertainment type of drama. Have a personality. Don't bring the, you know, the bad drama. So I want to make that distinction. I'm all for the alpha bad boys, the real bad boys, you know, all the ones that women think are bad boys. Those are the men that will not hurt you indiscriminately, will not hurt you to hurt you. They're just men who just won't allow you to hurt them, you know. So to me, those are the legitimate bad boys. So what do you think?
Well, I think that we have somebody in the switchboard raising their hand, and we got Let's Do It Radio in the chat room saying hey to Joe. Hey there, Let's Do It. We also have American Statesman. We got Boyd the Alaskan in the chat room. And so I'm going to bring in 614 and let's find out who we got.
Oh, okay.
614,
hello,
you're
hello,
on.
It's Adam. This is
hey,
Adam,
how you doing?
Well, I'm in Oklahoma dealing with drama in my soon-to-be ex-marriage, but yes, that's an interesting topic you've got going right now.
Yeah.
Right
on. Were you listening to the simple description of what most men generally want from a woman, and yet if those same qualities were presented to a woman, she would find something wrong with that guy? Were you listening to that?
Yes, and I generally agree with that. It's not in all cases. I do know women that don't do that, but here's the thing. They friend zone you.
Well, it's the same thing.
So it's weird because there's a couple women that I have been talking to and stuff that I really, really get along with. I feel like they, because I'm not into trying to, you know, just hook up culture and all of that crap. I'm too old for that. I have no interest in that garbage. But what I find
right
something? Now are women
Can
that...
Can I do something? Now, what's your name? If you want to give your name. If you don't, it's okay.
My name's Adam.
Adam.
Yeah, my name's Adam.
Adams or Adam?
Adam. Yeah, like the first
Adam.
Man to
okay.
walk the earth.
Okay. All right, Adam, can you hold on for just 1 second? Because I have undiagnosed ADD, and let's do it radios in the chat room. And I think you're the one I invited to the show, if I remember correctly. And if you want to call in, that's cool. And when you do, we can promote your show. And Adam, if you have a show, we'll promote it as well. So sorry to interrupt. And we have Boyd and other people. Thanks. Okay, so go ahead, Adam. Sorry.
I don't have a show yet, but that is in the works, actually. I'm actually
okay.
talking to a producer about that. So so that is going to be a thing in the near future, probably. I've been on Lori's show a time or two. I get on Joe Gibson's show occasionally.
No.
The thing that I have found is that women are looking for the
and
good
Sally,
guys.
I forgot to mention
the
Sally. Hi, Sally. I told you I had ADD. Sorry, Sally. Go ahead. Sorry, Adam.
The good guys are in women's friend zones. They find them boring.
Right.
So the guy that wants to take care of you, the guy that wants to provide, the guy that's working his ass off, the guy that the women find those men boring. And the biggest problem, I think, is social media and these phones. They have access to every man on the planet. They can mm-hmm. select from anything and everything, and they go with what feels good to them because they're feeling creatures, right? A man mm-hmm. is different. A man is looking for a different quality. A man is looking, like you said, for the peace. A man that can provide something of value to his life. But what's interesting is in a recent relationship that I had, I had a girl that I had been seeing for 3 years. And uh-huh. we were on again, off again. We kept breaking up. And part of the problem was that she had some pretty unrealistic expectations of me, I felt.
What a
she
surprise.
Would always complain about that I did. That I didn't meet her needs, right?
Right.
But
yeah.
then when I asked, do you feel like you meet my needs? She's like, I don't know. I don't have any idea. You don't tell me your needs. I'm like, right. So you've also never asked.
Uh-huh.
I spend all uh-huh. my energy trying to meet your needs and keep you happy and keep you with me. But then what are you actually doing to meet my needs? What are you giving? And I think that is the number one problem in our current culture, in Western culture, is women generally feel like they are the prize in and of themselves. They have gotten to a point where, and this is not all women, I do know exceptions to this rule, but the women that I have been dating, anyway, in my experience, they don't understand that they actually have to give, too. I'm not on a TV show or trying to give you a sales pitch of all the things that I can do for you, but you're to win your heart and win you over or put you in my bed, and you're not offering anything to the relationship to keep me there. And mm-hmm. she didn't understand that. So when she had asked me at one point what I thought a husband was, and I said, well, I think a husband should provide. A husband should love his wife, should provide security, should, you know, things like that. And then I asked her, what do you think that a wife is? And her what a wife was a list of requirements of me. Well, I need you to be emotionally supportive to me. I need you to be blah, blah, blah. You know, wow. So what are you offering as a wife? She's like, what do you mean? Like, okay, yeah, you don't understand.
Isn't that
and
amazing?
Like
though?
I said, there's
Isn't
always
that amazing because
yeah.
you can say that they know what they want. They have a list, like you said, right? This whole litany, but yet they don't think
they know
that
what they
it's
want.
Appropriate. Yeah, they don't think it's appropriate for them to have a list. Yeah, I know what you mean.
No. And then if I say, well, I need you to do this, she's like, well, I do do that, but you don't. Okay, so now you're making accusations. One of the big things that I have is that the women that I've dated always try to think for me and speak for me. So they ask me a question, you know, what do you think about X? And I go, well, I think this. No, you don't. Well, I mean, why'd you even ask me the question then? And it gets to the point where they do that so much in even in things that really matter, and particularly in events that really matter, that I would tell her, I'm like, okay, so I don't get to think or feel here, so why don't you just go have a conversation with yourself and send me the memo?
Yeah.
I don't even understand why we're having this conversation. So, and she would get all mad, and she's like, what? Or if I raise my voice because it's bothering me, there's some tension. She's like, oh, you're getting angry. That's not helpful. Well, you know, I'm allowed to feel. I'm sorry. These issues are bringing up emotions for me, but I'm allowed to feel. And whether I bring it with a tone, they like to say, you're bringing this with a tone. I don't like it. It doesn't make it invalid.
Very important point.
It makes it that it's very
good
that it
point.
Means to me. Right.
Very good point. And I just want to interrupt here just for a minute. We got 8.5 minutes left of the live show to call in. 646-478-5284. So the live show will end in about 8 minutes. So if you're out there and you're listening, call in as we go into the bonus hour and press 1 to raise your hand if you want me to bring you on and you want to contribute to the conversation. We will gladly bring you on. Okay. So, Adam, good points that you're making. I like when you're talking about, like, you know, well, what does a good wife do? And then they turn around and it's like this laundry list of stuff for you and that finger pointing and stuff. And Joe and I have talked about that, too. Like, you know, women have to bring something to the table as well. Your mere presence is not enough.
Hold on for a second.
Right, I'm sorry.
Again,
the DJ is
Adam,
nice and all,
Adam,
that. That's not it.
Adam,
yeah.
Please, can you hold on both Lorianne and Adam, because we do only have a few minutes, and we have Sally, we have Let's Do It Radio, we also have, I think, another person, and we have Boyd. Any of these people who want to come in and talk about their shows, please do. Or if you want to describe your show in the chat room, I don't have access to the chat room, but Lorianne does. And when you do that, she'll tell the world, you know, who's listening, who you are, when your show. I know Sally comes on every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a two-hour show. It's called The American Statesman. Let's Do It Radio. I came across her show yesterday. I invited her to come today. I forgot what time, but today's Wednesday, so she has a show on Tuesdays. I don't know what time, but if you put that in the chat room, Lorianne will see it, and then tell people when your show is on. And Boyd, if you want to call in or raise your hand, that's fine. Anybody else, that's good. So we do promote other people's shows here. And sorry for the interruption, Lorianne and Adam. Go ahead, guys.
Just to add to that, we do have Robert in the chat room. So Robert, Conservative Nation Media, is actually in the chat room now. So we should promote his show on Fridays, which I co-host with him on Conservative Nation Media. That is at 6 p.m. on Friday Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And then Let's Do It Radio, Ms. Inez. Her show is typically on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Sundays, although I think that she also does a Wednesday show.
It's Ms. Inez.
Definitely follow her.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was the other show that I'd gone to for the first time yesterday. Hey, Inez. Yeah, her shows are on every night except Friday nights, and they start at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Tuesdays and Thursday shows are the shows which either talk about relationships or politics or whatever topic that other people can actually give to her, and she'll talk about them. We talked about a particular product called called TerraClean, which is supposed to be a wonder for the ecology and for the cleaning and for those who like to clean without a mess. So Tuesdays and Thursdays in general topics, Mondays and Wednesdays and Saturdays and Sundays are generally religious topics. So that's Miss Inez. Sally, I already mentioned. Boy doesn't have a show. Adam. Okay, so sorry again, guys. Go ahead, continue.
In the works. And then we do have 813 number raising their hand, so I will go ahead and bring that person on. Let's find out who we've got here.
We bring him in, but he has to wait.
Y'all, come on. It's me. Miss Inez.
Oh hey, hold on a second. Hold on a second, Inez. I forgot that since Robert's here, bring it, boy, right? So Suzette and Robert. Are they there? No, okay. Robert, Suzette, they also have shows. Suzette has joined Robert's network. She has a show on Wednesdays, or supposed to start on Wednesday. And she also has a show on Spreaker. And she also has a show on a free teleconference call mechanism system. So I forget what times they are. But put your Robert and Suzette, put your information in the chat room, okay? And hey, Inez, hi, I'm glad you called in. Can you talk for about 2 minutes and then we'll go back to Adam because I interrupted him.
Well, you can go ahead.
And then I interrupted him.
That's fine. Go back to Adam, okay. Let him talk because my show is in about an hour, so we have Bible study tonight. So on every other Wednesday we have Bible study. So I looked at my watch and said, oh, my gosh, and I didn't even know how to even get on y'all's show. So this is the second time I've been on the show, on a show through Blog Talk Radio other than my show. So hello, everyone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So thank you for having me. But go ahead, Adam, and finish it because I'll be here for a couple of minutes at least. So go ahead.
Okay, Inez, I'll see you on the show on Thursday probably. Okay, Adam, sorry.
I'm here.
Okay, you're still here? Okay, cool. All right, go ahead, Adam.
I'm
sorry. We had a new caller. Oh, that was her. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Adam. I told you I had ADD. Go ahead.
Squirrel. But
you keep teasing him. Okay, go ahead. No, wait. No, go ahead.
No, wait.
Squirrel.
No, go ahead. Squirrel. Wait a minute. What are you doing? Go ahead, Adam.
I've had those kind of relationships too, by the way. But anyway. My current situation, I'm in the midst of a divorce, and I've been dating because I've been separated for close to 8 years, and so I've been dating. The dating market is an absolute disaster, but in my situation with my soon-to-be ex-wife, I'm actually here settling that court stuff now. That's part of the reason I'm here. I'm also here to see some of my kids. I was married to a woman for 20-something-odd years trying to make it work. I have 9 children with this woman. It was kind of a religious zealot thing for her. And the church, when I decided to leave and go back to Ohio because I couldn't make a living in the dumpster fire of southeast Oklahoma, the church backed her just leaving me to stay here. And so she chose a state and her parents over me, over keeping our family together. She chose to divide our family. And then, of course, once I decided it was time to go ahead and start dating after I had been gone for 5 years begging her to come be with me and support me, she'd use that as the excuse to end our marriage. Well, you're cheating on me. Well, you left me for a state and your parents. So act like I'm the guilty party. So they never, one of the other problems I have is there's no self accountability in their own behaviors. They deflect everything that they do that is shitty is because of some circumstance, some other person or you or whatever. There's never a, you know what, I shouldn't have done that. from my wife of 20-something years, I have never heard those words ever. And I can say that with absolute confidence. The only time I've ever gotten somewhat of an apology from her is when I really corner her and her behavior, but it's still, yeah, I know I shouldn't have done that, but you did this and this and this. Don't you see why I would have done that? Or this situation was going on. That's why I did it. You know, there's always, no, just when I do something that I know is bad, I just go, you know what? I fucked that up. I shouldn't have done that. And I can't, I can't get women to do that. Like they just, the women in my life anyway, they don't do that. They don't take personal responsibility for the really crappy things that they do. And that goes a long way. So there's a lot of talk. If you watch these stupid TikTok things on relationships or you read a book or whatever, communication, communication, communication. You can communicate till you're blue in the face, but if you're communicating to a brick wall, it doesn't do you any damn good. So
I'm glad you brought that up. And the reason why is because I've said in different words the same thing. I've always said that communication is not the key, because whenever people say communication is the key, they're always implying that if you communicate, then the problems will go away. No. If you're communicating
with
a brick wall. They don't. If you're communicating with a brick wall, there's a problem. If you're communicating with somebody who doesn't want to acknowledge that they are the cause, whether it's a man or a woman, communication doesn't mean a thing. It just means a merry-go-round. Yeah, so I agree with you.
Right. And I don't even like – and it ain't even necessarily that they are the cause. Maybe we both fucked it up, right? They can't mm-hmm. – I can't get them to even go that far. Okay, I shouldn't have done this, but, you know, you're part in this. And they're like, no, you really shouldn't have done that. So that's the reason I did my – oh, okay, well, you know, there's no mutual acceptance
no
of responsibility. There's no personal responsibility. There's they just refuse to accept any personal responsibility whatsoever. They're always the victim. And – That's the mentality that I come up against. So I would say communication is not the key, because if you're communicating to somebody that's only there to tell you and they're not there to listen, that's not helping. The keys that I feel like would be a relationship I would feel worthy is self-reflection. A person that can, and that's for both parties, right? A person who can look upon themselves honestly and say, you know what, this could improve in myself. I could change this. This might help my spouse. You know, self-reflection is a thing. Personal responsibility is a thing. And the willingness not to make a laundry list of needs, but a laundry list of what you're willing to give. Because if I never have to ask you for something, that leaves me open to give to you. That's what
I'm going to go ahead and bring Boyd in. Sorry to interrupt you.
Okay, no problem.
Boyd's raising his hand here, so I'm going to bring him into the fold as well. Adam, you're making some excellent points. And Boyd, you are on with us. Welcome on in.
On.
We are into the bonus hour.
Yeah, welcome, boy. Can you hold on for just 1 second? Because I want to answer Adam before I forget. And you're talking about the laundry list of what a person needs, but yet they don't have the laundry list for themselves, a self-reflection. I think people need to have both. They have to have a laundry list of what they need from the other partner, as long as it's rational, and the laundry list of what they bring to the table as well, and discuss it. You haven't heard, probably haven't heard me before, but I have talked about a piece of paper, a questionnaire, an evaluation type of mechanism in which people, once they are about to get into a relationship, they're going to write down what they like about each other, what they don't like about each other, what they might bring to the table, what they want from each other, and the situations in advance, different scenarios that could arise in the future, which may not have happened during the dating phase, but which could happen in the future. Discuss it now to find out what the agreements and disagreements should be. So I've advocated for that in the past. And sorry to interrupt, Boyd. Go ahead. Bring your thoughts. Hello, Boyd. Okay. While he's eating a sandwich, I'll continue on with that. Yeah. It's, you have to be clinical. Okay. Boyd, if you want to interrupt, just come on in any old time. But you have to be clinical. You have to think like a divorce lawyer. What could happen to make this relationship go south? We have to think of the situations. I've brought up the toilet seat. I hate those stupid arguments. I brought up scenarios in which a guy's in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. His girlfriend calls him because the car has a flat. She's an hour away. What does she expect him to do, especially if they've discussed this particular type of situation in advance? And there will be other situations. Boyd, like I said, if you want to interrupt any old time, okay, if you're there.
Yeah, so, well, I'll tell you what, Joe. Outside of the political shows that we've been on, you have picked probably one of the most controversial subjects to be discussed ever. You know?
Mm-hmm. Just about. Yep. Yeah, because it seems like I'm putting the burden. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But I can say this. After 40 years and 7 days, the most said statement between my wife and I that we would say to each other would be, get the fuck out of my head.
Okay. And what does that mean to you and your wife?
What does that mean? That means get the fuck out of my head. I was about to say that.
So that's the most meaningful thing that you and your wife have said to each other?
Well, there towards the end, yes. We were always saying that to each other. We were always saying that to each other, no matter what the subject was or what we were getting ready to talk about or say. The other one would say, get the fuck out of my head, because that's what we were just about to, say to each other, the same thing.
Oh, okay. So was that in the joking vein, or was that in an acerbic style?
That was a joking vein.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know.
Okay, now I get you. Now I get you.
I would get ready to say something about something we were watching on TV or something like that, and she would say, get the fuck out of my head. I was about to tell you that too. or she would do that to me, and I'd have to tell her back I was about to say that to you.
I like that. That's unwritten, unspoken communication. Adam, what do you think?
So is that talking to a brick wall that you're getting answered before you even say something?
No, what I'm referring to is like being asked a question. How do you feel about me? Let's just do something basic, right? She would ask a question, and it's first of all, it's a question I don't want to answer, so it's really uncomfortable. She's put me on the spot. Generally, she's going to have a expectation of what I'm going to say, and I'm not going to meet it, because whatever conversation she had in her head before she asked the question is not the conversation we're actually going to have. But so I will say, you know, well, I mean, I love you. I think you're a pretty good person. You're really workaholic or whatever, and I believe that, you know, we're really good together or whatever. And she just says, well, you don't really believe that. And that's the kind of thing that I would run into is I can't answer a question genuinely and it just be accepted, because one of the things that I'm often accused of with these women is that you don't hear me. I don't feel heard. Well, I can tell you what. I feel generally absolutely silenced by my soon-to-be ex-wife, by every woman I've dated since. I mean, I cannot speak or think for myself, because if I say anything, that's not true. That's, you don't believe that. You know, that's the kind of responses I would get. And so there's no point in even having those discussions to me, why would I bother to answer those questions? And sometimes I would get frustrated enough to answer it that way. Like, if what do you think about this situation going on? And I would say, why are you even asking me? Because you've already got it in your head what I should say, so why don't you tell me what I'm supposed to think about it? And that would piss her off too, because there's no answering the question correctly. There's a correct answer according to her, and if I don't get it, then it's not acceptable to her. I'm not allowed to have my own thoughts.
Let me say this. I can understand your frustration with all of that stuff, but even still at 20 years of marriage, of living together, you're still feeling each other out. You haven't learned exactly what it is that she's needing, and she hasn't learned exactly what it is that you're needing. And that does create controversy in a marriage. But
you're right.
Adam, hold on for a second, please. Let him finish his thought, and then I want Lorianne to jump in if she wants to. If not, then you go ahead.
I would like to hear a female perspective. Yeah.
But still again, I don't know how you feel, but on it. But when I gave my oath to my wife, it was the same as giving my oath to the Constitution when I swore into the military. They're unbreakable, unbonded. They're
same.
They're not easy. In anything. Now, I'm not going to say, anything, too much beyond that. I feel
a vow is a vow. Your word is only worth as much as you keep it. I absolutely 1,000% agree. I can actually send you a picture of the vows that I took on my wedding day, because I keep the most of our vows.
Yeah.
So what I would say to that,
Adam, hold on a second, please. Let him. Boy, were you finished? Mm-hmm. Because if you're not, then I want Lorianne to jump in if she wants to. If not, then and Adam continue the conversation.
Another insight on this, okay?
Okay. All right,
where you guys were living, it sounds to me like that was home to your wife, and all of her family is there.
Hold
on, guys. All right, Lorianne. Do you want to jump on in? If not, then I'll let you two guys decide how you're going to conduct your conversation. Lorianne, did you want to jump in?
No.
I had something in my head like a few minutes ago, and now it's gone. I've been listening.
ADHD is contagious.
Now, I'm going to...
I know, right? It's like I was going to say something, and then, it escaped my brain.
I know, right?
Let me finish with Adam here real quick. I know the hardship or whatever with family bonds. My family, hell, when I was living at home, anytime I brought a girlfriend home to my mother, or I told my mother I was dating such and such a girl, all of a sudden she's related to me by some form. I had to fucking leave the state, you know, to find somebody that I wasn't related to somehow, some fashion, you know, 87th cousin or some bullshit like that, you know. But, like my sister, okay, she would not leave home. And when I say home, I mean the general vicinity of where we lived. She eventually did for a little while and stuff. And I think she had a pretty good life when she wasn't at home, but she moved back home and she's there. I left my relative, my hometown in 71 and haven't gone back since. And it's probably the best thing that I've ever done, basically because at 4,000 miles separation, the one thing I did not have to do, and which I'm glad of, is I didn't have to put up with the family Peyton place, you know, of the whole family being in the same area and all of that crap. I mean, I was 4,000 miles away from me. There was nothing I could do. I didn't care about it, you know, because most of it's bullshit. But there are people who just can't separate themselves from the family. That's like true. That.
All right. And Adam, what's your response? Another thing, Boyd, you know me on Joe Gibson's show. When I've taken over the show, I usually don't allow people for talking for longer than 2 to 3 minutes because then it becomes a huge monologue.
Yeah. So I know, and I get long winded. So cut me off.
So my situation was this: I met my wife in the Navy. We got together. We had our first son just as soon as we got out of the Navy. This was 1999. Okay. Now, uh-huh. From that point, we moved to Ohio, to my hometown, because I was the breadwinner. I'm the one that had the skills and stuff. I knew how to get a job. I had a career. I was a techie. We lived there for 3 years, and in that time, we had a second child, my second son. My wife, not being able to adapt to life in Columbus, Ohio, in the city that I lived in, because she's a small-town little country girl, whatever, the town she was raised in was 211 people. She basically locked herself in the house and wouldn't come out, was on antidepressants, was on sleeping pills and all this other stuff, and basically became a zombie, and I felt like I had lost my wife. So, myself decided to pack it up, surrender my career, surrender my family, my home, everything that I knew, my dreams, my hopes, and I moved her down here to Oklahoma with the hopes that it would restore my wife's sanity, bring her back to life. Well, she joined the church down here that she grew up in, and a lot of things happened. I would describe the churches down here as cults. They're not churches in any stretch, that's a whole other discussion, but the situation just descended where I couldn't find a way to make a living. There's nothing but cow pastures around here. If you don't own land, you're on welfare, and the people that own the land ain't sharing. So it's just generational stuff. Couldn't find a way to make a living for my family, and for 15 years I lived in abject poverty, at times begging and stuff. For 4 years, the last 4 years I was here, I didn't have a license or insurance or tags on the truck that I was driving, that I was holding together with duct tape, essentially. And I was utterly miserable working at Walmart in the deli as a techie, and I'd gone through so many jobs trying to find a way to make a living here that there was just no way to do it. And my then wife had told me that if I ever left here, that she would not be going and I would be going by myself, because obviously we're still surviving. So that means God was providing. That's the garbage that she was getting from these churches that we were in. So I've got 9 kids in a tiny 3-bedroom house that is falling down around us. I can't keep the last Thanksgiving we did without electricity that I was here. And I broke. I literally broke. I had a mental breakdown. I threw a whole bunch of stuff at Walmart, and I walked out screaming and yelling at the managers, cussing them out, all kinds of stuff. I'd worked there for like 6 years. Couldn't make a living. I came home. My wife stared me in the face. I'm bawling my eyes out. She just looked at me. She didn't know what to do. She went in the house, and that was the end of it. So I'm sitting in my van, bawling my eyes out, screaming to God at the top of my lungs, what the fuck do you want from me? I'll just commit suicide. Social Security will take care of my kids. That's where I was at. My father called me. My father called me and said, and he'd only ever called me 5 times in the 15, 16 years I'd been down here, and 4 of those were to tell me that someone in my family had died. But my dad called me, and he says, I don't know, I just felt like I needed to hear from you, see what was going on. And so I unloaded on him. And my dad says, well, don't sound like you're having a good time, boy. I think your old job is open, the job that I had given up, right, to move down here. It was open again. It was working for the city, Division of Water. And I knew when my dad said that, that job was mine. I knew it was an answer. I knew it. So I went in and I applied for it. I only had 8 hours before they closed that opening where they were taking applications after I hung up with my father. And I knew it. So I went up there. My dad sent me $1,500. My wife took that and spent all of 50 of it. So I spent what I could on a bus ticket and got up there with a backpack, and I moved into my sister's house, and I waited from July until November before they finally hired me for that job. And I was just working odd jobs in Columbus then, but I got that job, and it paid 4 times what I was making. It was back in my field, back what I had trained to do my whole life. It was the career that I had started. And when that happened, my wife told me that God told her not to come. By the time I was ready to bring her up and buy a home and move our family, that's what she told me. God told her. And God doesn't tell you to leave your husband to stay with your mom and dad or stay in a state. She left me for a state. But her way of using God in those instances, and every time she'd ever done that in our marriage, it always ended in disaster, just like it is now, right? It's her will imposed as God so that there's no arguing with it. She speaks as God. And that's not tenable, right? So the idea that we're learning each other over time and maybe we're still trying to learn, no. There was no bar that I could reach that she would be acceptable. I ruined my life for this woman. I gave everything. I gave all my dreams, all my hopes, lived in abject poverty to be where she wanted to be until it broke me. And it was still not enough for her. Her response to that today, well, yesterday, literally, was, I never asked you to do that. That's what she told me.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I never felt violent towards her until that moment, and I had to walk away, because that was, if you could have said the most awful thing to say in response to the years and the sacrifices I've made, that was it. That was the most awful thing. And that was to me
that
telling
is very
her that
unappreciative.
I was still,
it's like, well, I never asked you to. Well, it's like, well, that's because you didn't have to ask me to, you know. It's
Right.
And, you know, don't you get
it?
You know, you never had to ask me to do these things and be this loyal and try my hardest to, you know, be a good husband, you know, and all of these things that I've done, you never had to ask me to because I just did them. And how, you know, God. Yeah.
And all I ever wanted was for my wife to love me. Right. I was trying to get her to come back out of her shell to be some resemblance of the woman that I met. And I never, so when we were here, she was all the way absorbed in the church. She absorbed herself in the children. I would be jealous of the affection she could show the children because I knew she's obviously capable of it. I would love to be getting some of those hugs and kisses, but I never get them because I did something or I didn't do something. It was never good enough. You know, I didn't say a thing or I didn't do a thing or we're not going out on dates because we're broke. But, you know, all of that stuff, in the 16 years of our marriage, it was never enough for her to love me. There was never enough. She was, and I would go everywhere by myself. I went to one of my best friend's weddings by myself. You know, she just wouldn't do it. And yeah, it that bar, and to say that all of those sacrifices I made, the way we were living, surrendering my career, my family, my home, all those things, I never asked you to do that. She was also talking about the provision that I've provided for the last 7 years in our separation, the last 8 years. I didn't ask you to do that either. Well, guess what I won't be doing from this moment forward? So it's kind of – it's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. Like you didn't have to do that. You can't hold that over my head. I didn't ask you to do it. Okay, so, you know, providing for my family – providing for my kids. You didn't ask me to do that. I did that because I felt like it was my obligation. I'm still your husband for the moment.
Yeah, isn't that kind of an expectation?
Right.
Ms. Inez,
right.
do you have anything to say to chime in?
She was very unappreciative. That's all I say. She was selfish and unappreciative, very unappreciative for all that you had done for her. She didn't appreciate you as a man or as a person. All she wanted you was to provide, but she didn't want to give. All she wanted to do was just get. Push you off to the side, which made you not, I won't say hate her, but just, you know, just make it so that it made it hard for you to love her. And, you know, I know you still did, but still being the fact that she was just so unappreciative, it's like, sister, girlfriend,
I still love her.
That's it.
It's ridiculous
because I can't figure out
how a person can be that cold. Yeah,
she knows that. That's just it.
I can't.
She knows that.
She is the mother of my children. She's been at home all of this time. She hasn't worked since our first child, and she makes these decisions for the entire family at the consequence of everyone around her. But she doesn't take any responsibility for any of the decisions she makes. She imposes her will upon everyone, but then does nothing to alleviate the situation. So it just, yeah, there's no appreciation whatsoever. And I do still love her because I'm not cold enough to just be able to shut it off like that.
Right.
I've lived with her for 20 years. I sacrificed all that. You know, maybe it's Stockholm Syndrome or some crap. I don't know. But that's the reason I've put up with it for so damn long. And,
You lived with her, but did you understand her and know her is the question. You were there,
no.
But were you
at this point, and she never knew me.
Mm-hmm.
She tells me that She tells me that I'm an evil narcissist.
And so, what is she?
And I explained to her, like, what part of the situation was I controlling?
Mm-hmm.
Because there was no part of our living situation, including what's going on right now, that was my decision.
Mm-hmm.
None of it.
And
I
then
wasn't
that makes
choosing
it
to
hard.
Stay in Oklahoma where we could.
Right.
Yeah.
And then that makes it hard for you to break the love that you have and the love bond because you have the children and you have her. But where does that leave you? Just out to dry.
Correct. And I've had this noose around my neck, not able mm-hmm. to really progress and build a home for my kids because I'm dealing with two households 900 miles apart, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and I have to, and I told my kids this visit, that's got to stop. I can't do that anymore. I don't have it. You know, the price of everything's going up, and I need to buy land. I need to build a homestead. I need to, this has got to mm-hmm. stop. It's done. I'm getting out of the city. It's not safe there anymore. The, you know, the political stuff we talk about on all these other channels is going down. Time's running out. So we're all going to have to start choosing who we're going to be spending the apocalypse with at this point.
Exactly.
And I can't keep her noose around my neck. And that's just mm-hmm. where I'm at.
It sounds like, you know, it's almost like she had this overwhelming need to constantly have you on her leash, you know what I mean? And you were just expected to follow whatever decisions that she made. And now you're at this point where, yes, you still love her. That doesn't go away, but it's time for you now to make your own decisions. On how you want to live your life.
I have to do
and
something.
No longer
exactly.
be, you know, attached to her leash.
Right. And even as I had dated other women in the last 3 years, right, and that dumpster fire is a whole slew of stories I could get into as well, but I've always maintained and told her, like, you can be my wife at any time. You can come here, and I will end it. It just show up, and I'll put it back together, Mandy. I would tell her that. But she would then take it, well, it's kind of a deal breaker. You're seeing someone else. What am I supposed to do? Like, you abandoned me. I didn't get married to be alone, even though I've been alone for 20 years. I'm not getting any freaking younger here. So I'm not trying to be alone, but you're forcing the issue, and I'm not going to come live in Oklahoma because I've already proven we can't make a living there. There's a reason they gave this land to the Indians, and that's not to be funny or racist or anything, but the white man gave this land to the Indians because it ain't worth a shit. So you can't grow anything here. You can't build anything here. There ain't nothing but a bunch of trailers as far as the eye can see. There's a reason for that. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's lack of self-accountability, lack of the ability to reflect upon oneself. She doesn't take any responsibility for her decisions. Her decisions are consequences for everyone else around her. Everyone else around her has to adjust. She thinks herself an artist, so she doesn't have to work. She can sit and draw, and whether she sells it or not is of no consequence to her because someone else will pay the bills, a.k.a. me or one of her family. You know, so it's she's delusional. She thinks of God just because the lights stay on and the water keeps running, even though, you know, the roof is leaking in a room and my kids are stacked up because they – it's exhausting. She just doesn't see, won't see, and refuses. She can't stand confrontations except to confront me personally, apparently, but otherwise she'll let people roll over. I just found out that she's losing the house that we've been paying on for 15 years because her family who sold it to her never properly transferred the deed. Now she's got a cousin that's going to take it, sell it. And she was just going to give it away. She's like, oh, okay.
Wow.
So the house that I've been paying for the last 15 years is just gone. Unless I do something. But if I don't do anything about it,
mm-hmm.
she's just going to give it away and go move in with her mother.
Wow.
Everything that I put into it goes away. You're
she
insane, Miranda. You're nuts.
That is,
she disrespects
yeah,
you all
crazy.
The way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the
well.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing that, and I don't want to be a woman hater. I don't believe that, because I do have friends, female friends, that are not that way. I believe that truly. But there's definitely a entitlement mentality in Western culture that is destroying marriage and man relationships that these who built your house, Miranda? If you didn't have a man, you're not going to find an all-men crew to build your house. You're not going to find a man crew to dig the ditches and to hang the power lines. You'll never find that. Those are always men. There's no women crews doing that. And that's not being funny either. That's just the reality of the situation. These ideas that we don't need each other. I need a woman to take care of my younger children. That's what women do. So, you know, there's a purpose for each of us. That doesn't make us lesser because we have a role. We just have a role to play. And all I ever wanted was play your role. Be there for me. Back me up. Support me. I'm providing for the family. Come be with me. Bring the family so that we're not struggling. And she just refuses to do that. So, and in the meantime, she's telling them I'm demon-possessed and all of that crap and, you know, whatever. It's crazy.
She needs to take a look in the mirror.
Well,
she really needs to take a look in the mirror.
I can see your frustrations. I understand them. And all I can say right now at this point would be not all marriages are doomed to survive. This one seems like, you know, it's not. And I can understand your feelings, your frustrations, and all of that. And, you know, don't the blame for what's happening. But I do want to make one quick change of subject for you, Adam, because I think you and I both used to chew on the same piece of ground. You say did you grow up in Columbus, there in Ohio?
Yes.
In Columbus? Okay.
Columbus, yes.
Yeah, well, I was over in the Dayton area myself. That's where I grew up.
Yep.
About 15 miles
about
north
an hour
of Dayton.
From me, yep.
Yep.
Yep, I know exactly where you were at.
Yeah. So, yeah, okay. And like I said, you know, jokingly earlier, I had to leave the whole state just to go find somebody I wasn't related to get married to.
There's a lot of people in Ohio. I was thinking Montana or something. But, yeah.
No, in the area that I lived in, you know, it seemed like everybody was related some form or another, you know. Second cousins twice removed, you know, or shit like that, you know. That's how big the family in that area is. Or, well, it still is. But, yeah. So, and I had to come all the way to Alaska to find a Texas girl.
Awesome. Well, the girl I'm looking for, she cuddles well because I'm a cuddler. She kisses well because I'm a kisser. She loves well. She doesn't bring drama. She's not overly attached to her family. I don't even care if she has an attachment to her family. Just don't turn that into the priority over our relationship. And I'm good. I'm okay. Well, and obviously you got to like kids because I have 9 of them. They are well behaved, but you know, it's just,
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like my requirements are pretty simple, but even with my simple requirements, I can't find that. Women aren't offering that in the dating realm. And this hookup culture shit, I'm finding that the sex on a first date is like expected, which is weird. I never expected to find that from women. and they don't even think you like them. It, like, if they like you, they want you to go to bed. And and that's from older women, younger women. It doesn't even really matter. That's just, it's strange. I'm not trying to hook up and get some STDs. If you're willing to go to bed with me on the first date, how many times have you done this? So, I guess I'm old fashioned in that way. But I did have one example in my grandparents who had been married 53 years. And when my grandfather died of cancer, my grandmother died 3 months later of a broken heart. Ooh. And I've watched that relationship growing up. And that's what I had hoped to keep in my marriage. And that's not going to happen, obviously. But I had that goal. And I feel like even that goal was taken from me. I feel like this woman took everything from me. She took all my best years. She took that from me. She took a lot. And that's hard to forgive, especially if she blames me for it all. I don't even know what it's like to have a supportive wife. I can't imagine where I would be now if I had a supportive wife, where my family and my kids would be. I could have only dreamed. And so this life is, you know, it is what it is. I got to build with whatever I've got left.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's another thing for you to chew on, okay? You had a 23-year learning experience, okay? And, you know, you keep looking for what you want. You may not find that you've got exactly everything that you want, but you will find it out there. And it may take a long time, you know, especially with the way the world is today. But you'll find that person. So, you know, just don't beat yourself.
I'm learning to end things quickly.
Just don't beat yourself up over it. You know, I mean, yeah, it's hard, it's painful, but, you know, you don't need to be beating yourself up.
The hardest part I found is not going back in time in my mind and trying to find a way that I could have fixed it. You know, that's the rub, because I'm a very big thinker, and I like to replay events and try to repair them. And I can't, even if I had done everything that I think would be conceivably right, the only person that I can change is me. I can't change the way she would respond to it. I can't guarantee that if I did everything perfectly that she would have ever done anything different than what she did. So I try to keep that stuff in mind. And I think any man or woman really who's ever been in a shitty relationship needs to keep that in mind. The only person you can change is you. And you can't will it or force someone else to see or to be willing to change or to be willing to reflect. They just sometimes they won't, don't, or you know, they just have their own egos and their own, and you'll never get past it. And I found that is something that I have to remind myself of on a regular basis.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, there is things you can change about yourself, but, you know, there are things that you won't be able to change about yourself.
Correct.
What you have to do.
There are definitely levels that I will not go to.
Yeah, you have to, you know, do what you think you have to do, but not, you know, I mean, If you're not yourself,
yeah,
and
I
you
agree.
Can't, and you, if you're not yourself, and you can't love yourself, how is somebody else supposed to love you? You know, it's
right.
It's kind
well,
of kind of like. It's kind of like
yeah,
me.
There's a point where you have to stay authentic, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm widowed, and I am not looking, at least not at this time. And if a woman was to come into my life, she's going to have to, one, love me, but she's also going to have to love my dogs. And if she can't love my dogs, she can't love me. That's just, you know, that's a hard, fast rule for me.
Yep. I can relate to that. And my dog and my cat must love him, too. If my dog doesn't
yes.
like a guy that I date or my cats don't like them, then that's a red flag. It's like, okay. I literally will trust my dog and my cats to choose a guy for me better than myself, because I'm notoriously bad at choosing men. I've admitted that before.
Well,
like I'm very skilled at choosing the wrong men. So maybe my dog and my cats will do a better job of that for me, at least steer me away from the bad ones. You know, if my dog loves just about everybody, but you know, if my dog instantly doesn't like somebody, then that's saying something, because that's not unlike her. You know what I'm saying? So I can totally relate to that. Get a dog and let your dog decide. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think animals pick up on people's auras, and yeah, I definitely think that's a thing. The only stipulation I have for any animal. I don't sleep with animals in the bed. I didn't sleep with my kids in the bed. I won't sleep with an animal in the bed. I can't stand that, because I feel like that's just interference in the relationship and intimacy time. And I say that because the last girl I dated most recently, very, very short term, wanted to have her big Siberian Husky in the bed with us. And that thing shed like no other dog I've ever seen. And it would be in the bed, and I would be breathing its fur, and yeah, that's just not cool. I mean, I'm trying to sleep. I'm not trying to spit and deal with tickle nose fur all over my face.
You mean you don't want to wake up in the middle of the night tossing up hairballs? What's wrong with you?
No, you're not tossing up hairballs. And then she's like, You don't like my dog. And I'm like, I got no problem with your dog. I don't want it on my bed. In fact, I played with the dog a lot. The dog was pretty cool. But, I mean, come on. There's got to be some limits. I draw the line there, you know. Get the dog out of my bed. So, other than that, I'm good.
Well, my dog sleeps in bed with me, keeps me warm. And he's a pain in the ass sometimes, but that's his place.
And to each
you know.
That's fine.
Yeah, same thing
with
my Nikita. My Nikita keeps me warm.
Right. And I get that for single people. I understand that. But it's just a thing, like when you're in a relationship, the dog's a cock block. I'm sorry. It's just a thing. It's not. You're supposed to be following
me,
not the dog.
You know.
Especially if
you have a king size bed and you can fit them. But I hear that. I mean, I think the situation would definitely be different. Like, I would love to find the right guy for me, or if the right guy for me even exists. You know, that'd be all fine and dandy and stuff. And I would much rather, you know, have a good man to sleep with in my bed over my dog, you know.
Right.
Yeah, you know,
it's
to snuggle up with.
Especially a man
that doesn't wake me up from snoring, that'd be good.
yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you, because when my wife is still alive and everything, this knucklehead was always up there on the bed with us, you know, and we would fight all night over the covers, you know, and it wasn't me taking them off of her or him taking it off or she taking it off of me. It was the dog was in between us, and goddamn, that son of a bitch would, you know, end up with all the covers somehow, you know. But
and I can't do that. I can't do that.
Well, you know, you can't do that, but it's like, you know, like anything else, you will learn to live with it, you know, and once you do, you know, it'll be one of those, wow, you know, now you feel naked in bed if he's not there, and, you know, that type
right.
of stuff. You know, I've got, you know, like, I sleep with a CPAP, and there for, you know, a while, it was a bit of a pain in the ass, you know, but now if I don't have my mask on, I can't sleep, you know, it's like,
uh-huh.
it's part of me, you know, sometimes
right.
it just takes a while for something to become part of you. You know, that's just the way life is.
Sure.
And, so
that makes sense.
You know,
I hear that.
It's a pain, and if you're not used to it, yeah, it's going to keep you awake at night. But as soon as you start to get used to it, it ain't so bad. I mean, I've got two golden retrievers, and. Whenever I go out, I just can't leave the house without them because they're on my clothes. You know, there's fur on my clothes from my two golden retrievers.
Nope.
And guess what?
Well,
I don't care anymore. It's just, that's the way it is. I mean, I can, you
yeah.
know, get all huffy and fluffy and stuff like that and try and roll all of the fur and stuff off
Let
of
roller.
It. Yeah, and then, you know, but then, you know, you find that you spend way too much time taking care of that shit rather than doing what it is that you want to do anyway. And besides, what's the fur really hurting? Nothing. You know, it just it's just there. You know, that's all it is. It's just there. And like I said,
yeah.
love me, love me, love my...
You've got to clean that dryer filter
you know,
out a little more often.
Yeah. You know, like I said earlier, love me, love my dogs, and love my dog hair. You know, if dog hair's a relationship killer, well, so be it. You know?
Yep.
I can't change the dogs. You know, their fur's going to come out one way or the other. And that's just the way life is. I mean, they can't help it. You know? All the dogs
yep.
can do is sit there and love you and shed, you know. That's what a dog's supposed to do.
Love you and shed.
Yep. Just like right now I'm getting the evil eye because my dogs have learned how to tell fucking time. And they're saying, it's that time of day, Dad. Where's our food? You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My dog yeah. my dog has her sign, especially on my
yep.
computer. When she's hungry and I'm on my computer, then she's sticking her nose right in my laptop and bending the screen down, like, pay attention to me, Mom, you know. But in any case, you know, I can understand Adam's point, especially, you know, a queen-size bed, okay. I also admit, I am kind of terrible to sleep with. because I, even in my relationships, I think that's one complaint that my past relationship guys that I've been with complain about with me is I want my own separate blanket. I want my own pillow. I want my own space when sleeping. You know, it's like we could cuddle and everything for a little while, but when it's time to actually go to sleep, I want my own blankets. I want my own pillows. I don't want arms all over me. You know, I want my own space. Don't be all over me and stuff. You know, just give me my space. And, you know, I don't deal with people stealing the covers. That's why, because I have my own blanket, my own sheet, my own blanket, my own pillows, my side of the bed. I don't have to worry about, you know, somebody trying to share the covers that way. So that might take a little bit of the intimacy out of things sometimes because of I do want that separation. I always have when I'm sleeping. And, like, even my dog knows that. you know, she knows her space on the bed, that type of thing. But that's why my cats, I don't allow my cats to sleep with me because I don't want them, like, you know, laying on top of me and kneading my hair or chewing on my hair or messing with my feet or, you know, whatever. My dog sleeps with me, but not my cats. And, but even my dog knows I need my space and, you know, she'll wait till I get comfortable and, you know, and before hopping up on the bed. You know, and then so once I'm laid down and once I'm comfortable, then she knows, okay, now I can hop up on the bed and secure my space, that type of thing. And I'm kind of the same way with men, you know. It's the same thing. It's like I want my space. I don't, you know, I am not one of those people that, you know, fall asleep, you know, with the, you know, the guy's arm under me and all, you know, spooning each other. I don't fall asleep that way, you know. That's nice for a little while. It gets me relaxed and everything and ready to go to sleep, but I can't fall asleep that way at all. And that makes me not very, like, I can totally understand why, back in, like, the 50s or whatever when you saw TV shows and they always had separate beds, and, you know, that kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
I could totally understand why, you know, why married couples would have separate beds or even separate bedrooms, especially if one of them snores. You know, my mom was like that with my stepfather. He was a really loud snorer, and so they actually slept in separate bedrooms because of that. I can't stand a loud snorer. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, no, I can't do that. I cannot fall asleep with somebody snoring right next to me. It doesn't work. Or heavy breathers. I sleep with earplugs in for a reason. But heavy breathers, too, like, you know, or the breathers that go poo, poo, poo. Sometimes that's worse than snoring is that poo. Every time they exhale, like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, shut up. I just want to get the
duct tape. I don't think I've met any of those. I deal with snoring.
Oh, I had an ex that was like that.
I haven't met one that does. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, I had an ex that did that.
No,
he was a poo, poo, poo breather.
That's weird. My biggest problem with the dog in this case was that I felt like the dog was getting more attention than I was. So that was my number one contention. That being, you know, separated, actually, I'm very hot-natured, so being separated while sleeping is actually, you know, that I get that. Sometimes they just bake me out. In fact, I'll literally climb out of the blankets occasionally just trying to get away from it. But, so, yeah, I understand that stuff. I just don't want the dog to be in the bed interfering with time that should be intimate between me and somebody else. And I don't want you paying attention to the dog, you know, while I'm trying to do whatever. And yeah, no. The dog's become, like I said, a cock block at that point because I'm not. And when I'm getting ready to get intimate or I want to kiss on you or whatever and you're sitting there still playing with that damn dog, that pisses me off and I just go roll over and go to sleep. And that's what I dealt with my most recent relationship. And I finally, that wasn't the deal breaker for me. I put up with that for up to a certain extent, but she had a bunch of other psycho traits that I couldn't deal with. So just nuts. She was flippy, kind of crazy, and she had a problem with hitting on men and women everywhere we went. So right in front of me. And yeah, that's not cool. But apparently, most people these days don't think anything of just handing your number to random people that you meet in bars or whatever. So that's not a thing, but apparently it is. I don't ascribe to that either. So there's some weird things to me that seem like are common sense in the dating world that apparently is no longer common sense. So I'm
yeah, common sense has been redefined.
Yeah. You're just trying to control me. No, I mean, This is relationship 101. You don't give your number out to random people. So you don't hit on people while you're sitting right next to me telling them how beautiful they are. And if you didn't have a boyfriend, they'd be in trouble. But that's not a statement you make in front of your boyfriend. That's
yeah, that's pretty disrespectful.
That's not a statement you make. Yeah. And the first time that happened, I was like, did she really just say that?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I think I'm going to get out of here and get my pups fed and get them outside and let them come back inside and calm down. So, anyway.
Yeah, I
got to
go
eat
dinner myself. So.
And we have... hopefully, boy, well, hopefully you'll have a little bit of time to take care of stuff, and then I'll be tuning in for Suzette's show here in a couple hours. And so hopefully we'll see how her show goes. Hopefully you'll make your way there as well. I'm glad that you called in. And I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. The switchboard's all shut down. So I don't know if Ms. Inez is still on with us or not. I know Joe's phone dropped a while ago, about an hour ago almost. His phone dropped on him, and he couldn't call back in because we had already gone into overtime. So if Boyd drops, then it would just be you and I, Adam, unless Ms. Inez is still on with us. But I think she has her show to do, too. Her usual Wednesday show.
Doesn't sound like it. She said she was going to do her Bible show or something. But, okay. Well,
yeah,
I'm going to get off here and go eat dinner. So.
Waiting for a host to call in. So, yeah, it doesn't look like hers has started quite yet, but it's going to. But, yeah, I think this was a good conversation. I think, you know, Adam, you and I, we can continue to talk for a little while if you like.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, we're in no man's land now, but,
No man's land.
Think, yeah, you know, you and I have talked in the past about, you know, when we were up all night that one night, when we were dating
yeah,
that one
the insanity.
And
yeah.
She was sleeping and stuff.
I'm still trying to get rid of her, but she's supposedly moving to Minnesota. She's moving to Minnesota on the 1st, so hopefully I'll be rid of her she's the one with the dog. So, I...
Oh, yeah, I was wondering if that was the chick you were talking about.
Yeah, in fact, I can probably... Her dog, like, she's got a husky. It's actually really well-behaved. I like the dog. I don't hate dogs. I like the dog. I just don't want it in my bed interfering with us time. That's my stipple. And I don't like breathing the dog hair. I don't own a dog. I didn't own a dog. I don't like dog hair in my face while I'm trying to sleep. And as long as she was doing okay keeping most of the things vacuumed. I had to get on her a few times about leaving it laying around. But for the most part, she was keeping up with the accumulation around the house because that thing shed like no other. I've never seen a dog shed like that dog shed, and it was ridiculous. I had one of these, I bought this brush for the dog, and I would go outside. It's like it looks like a saw blade bent in a curve. And I took it out there, and I brushed her. Now, she loved the brush. I was taking fur off, like, in big, massive clumps. It was just ridiculous, like, how much stuff I was getting off this dog. Oh, let's see. There she is.
Oh, well, yeah, huskies are like that. Huskies have, you know, a very thick, like, inner layer of fur, you know, and
yeah.
So that's what you're bringing up too. It's because, you know, they have like their surface fur, and then they have this really thick layer of another layer of fur that, you know, helps insulate them. They're built for cold, you know, unlike my dog. She's,
yeah,
you know, short hair. And even she, you know, sheds quite a bit when in like spring and then the fall. She does her seasonal shedding. Where it's like, where is all this coming from, you know? And I definitely have to keep up on brushing her and stuff during that time, because otherwise it's just like, you know, piles and piles of hair everywhere. And,
yeah.
I call her Shedder Butt, you know. I'm like, hey, Shedder Butt, you know, you got the Shedder Butt. And she'll literally, like, I'll be sitting here on the couch, and she'll tell me when she wants me to brush her ass, because she'll just, you know, like, she'll back up her butt, you know, like, right up to me, like, brush my butt, brush my butt, like, you know.
Yep.
And so I'll bring out the doggy brush, and yeah, even it annoys her.
When
I don't know how she would fare though, you know, with my dog, because I got her as a puppy, and I haven't, you know, dated anybody. I haven't been dating anybody, and I got her what, like 7 years ago. And
yeah,
she's just so used to, you know, our routine that.
Yep.
It would be kind of interesting if I did start to date somebody and, you know, he spends the night kind of a deal, like to, you know, how she would react to that, you know.
Yeah.
I have, you know, her crate, you know, it's like a travel crate canvas in the bedroom. And sometimes she'll decide to sleep in there. Usually, like, when I'm restless, you know, if I'm tossing and turning too much,
right,
and, you know, flailing my feet because I'm hot or whatever, and then she'll jump down and sleep in her crate for a while until I get settled down. So that's what I imagine I would do. She'd probably still be in the room with me, just in her crate, you know, but because I think it would be more disruptive if she wasn't at least in the room with me when I'm with a guy,
well,
you know, and if I lock her out, then, you know, she would, like, go all fucking crazy and whine and, you know, stuff like that.
I don't think that's a problem. Like, I had offered to get her a pet bed and put her at, like, the foot of the bed or even beside the bed next to her or whatever. I had no problem with that. But she didn't want to do that either. She's just like, you don't like my dog. I'm like, no, again, you know, that's not the problem here. And I kept having to repeat that just because I don't want the dog in the bed with us. Because there are times when she would, the dog would be there and it would interrupt us, or it would wake me up, or, you know, stomping on me, trying to get out to do whatever, and yada, yada, yada. I don't like that. I don't want that to happen. I don't want you cuddling the dog instead of me when we go lay down to go to sleep. I don't want, that's not cool. And she's like, well, you got to understand, for a long time it was just me and the dog. No, I get that. I do get it. But it's still a dog. I'm a human being. I don't know. She was kind of ridiculous in so many ways. Yeah, you and I kind of talked about how many ways she was ridiculous. But it's funny now that I've kicked her out, she's a lot more reasonable. Like, I could have a relationship with the person she became after I kicked her out, after I told her she's got to leave. But I know it's just her trying to win me back over. And I'm not buying it. So,
yeah, it's like, it's not authentic. It's more manipulative. Yeah, more manipulative
right.
to keep you strung along. Yeah. Then it is authentic.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it.
I hear you.
I'll take it, but I'm not stupid. This isn't my first rodeo. I know you're going to change back the moment the situation changes. So, yeah, I'm not just not buying it. Like, yeah, I'm not buying you had some big revelation that you're a piece of shit person. I mean, I'm not going to figure it out. I don't believe you figured it out. So,
I never meant to be a bad person, I promise you.
Well, no, I believe that part. I don't believe you meant to. You just don't know how not to. You don't know how to treat people, so.
Yeah, exactly.
And it looks like my kids.
Exactly.
And I don't have,
what?
Like, I'm 48 years old. I don't have the energy to sit here and try to teach you relationship 101. Number one, don't hit on other people, for one, in my presence, and two, definitely when you're not in my presence. Stop hitting on people.
Well, exactly.
That's not okay.
I don't get that. That's like just like attention grabbing or something, or like just like some people have like this need to always have like a backup person, you know, somebody in their back pocket to fall back on, you know.
And then I think it was both.
Like
I think it was attention, because she's very much an attention person. She wants to go out like. If we're just going to Denny's after work, she wants to put on a dress and put heels on and all that. Well, why are you doing all that? Just sweatpants and a sweatshirt will be fine. You know, just